Welcome back to our journey through Matthew, chapter 3 today, as we introduce one of the pivotal characters in the gospel story. Now, Jonathan Ferguson is with us again. Now, this story was a long time coming, so Jonathan, set the stage for us.
All right. For over 400 years, there has not been a prophet in Israel. After Malachi writes his message, there was no one who spoke for the Lord to the nation, until Matthew 3. Verse 1, in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the deserts of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now if you turn back in your Bibles a few pages to the end of the Old Testament, you will see that the final prophecy given before the silent years were the last words there in Malachi 4, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse."
So that's God's final words for 400 years to his people. He will send Elijah before the coming day of the Lord, before Judgment Day. Now remember, Elijah was a great prophet from the Old Testament who was taken to heaven without dying. This Elijah would bring a message of both repentance and judgment. The Lord delivers that prophecy, and then the silence.
And then centuries go by, and then John shows up. He comes to the deserts of Judea, preaching a message of repentance and calling people to a right relationship with God.
Now, does that mean that this John is Elijah?
Well, yes and no. John the Baptist said directly that he was not Elijah. But later, Jesus describes John like this, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come."
Okay, so John was not a literal reappearance of Elijah, but a prophet just like Elijah, preaching both repentance and judgment.
Right. Now, verse 2 has the heart of John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.
Okay, repent is obviously a key word here. So what does repent mean?
Well, repentance is very simply a changing of the heart. It is regret and remorse. In the Bible, it means to turn away from evil and to turn to God.
So in kids' terms, repentance is a true sorry. Not sorry I got caught, but sorry I was wrong and my heart is different now. What about the second part? For the kingdom of heaven has come near.
You see, God's kingdom is the story of the Bible. John came to announce that the kingdom of heaven is near, and repentance was how you got ready for it.
All right, so that's John's message, but what does Matthew 3 tell us about the man himself?
Well, first, he was a herald. Matthew quotes from Isaiah 40, portraying John as a messenger that comes before a king, announcing his imminent arrival, making sure that even the roads leading into the town were repaired for the king's arrival.
So John is basically Jesus' hype man, right?
Did you just say hype man?
Yeah, hype man. The guy who gets the crowd ready for the main act. John is Jesus' hype man.
Well, you could say that, or you could just say that John prepared the way for the Lord.
Exactly. Hype man. That's why they call him Jay the Bee. It's his cool hype man name.
Okay, moving on. John also lived a simple life. John lived out in the desert, not exactly the Cribs lifestyle of a hype man there, Chris. We're talking rock for a bed, scorpion for a pet. He wore simple camel skins and a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey, the, you know, delicious foods of the desert. His lifestyle, dress, and food was this visual protest right in the face of the indulgent and extravagant lifestyles of those religious leaders of the day.
Okay, now all hype man joking aside, we do see that John was bold. In verse 7, the Pharisees and Sadducees show up to hear John. Now these are the religious leaders of two very different branches of Judaism. To most people, they were the religious high and mighty. To John, they were professional hypocrites. They were all godliness, but it was all show. John calls them a brood of vipers, a snake pit, sneaky, subtle, and deadly. In verse 8, he nails them. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, this repentance can't just be words. Another show for the hypocrite to put on. Prove your heart change by producing fruit. In verse 10, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire.
And one more thing about John. John was a humble man. I mean, he knew his place was passing. In verse 11, he says, "After me will come one more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry." John had a tremendous role, but compared to Jesus, he knew he was unworthy.
That's right. And in God's eyes, knowing you're unworthy makes you perfect for pointing others to Jesus. Now, the thing that John is remembered for is baptizing. Baptizing is basically dunking a person underwater. But what it means is pretty deep. To me, baptism says, I'm all in. I'm not dipping my big toe in the pool. I'm in with everything I have. But now the Bible has more than one kind of baptism. So what does John's baptism mean?
In John's time, the Jews practiced a form of baptism, but only for Gentiles who converted to Judaism. You know, a new set of beliefs, a new lifestyle. But John's baptism was completely new. This was a baptism of repentance. It was a change of actions in response to a change of their heart. See, back in verse 6, we had read, "Confessing their sins, they were baptized in the Jordan River." So when John calls the nation of Israel to be baptized and they respond, it's an astonishing thing. They were admitting that their own Jewishness was not enough to make them right with God. They were confessing the need to be made right in the eyes of God. Here were the chosen people of God, the descendants of Abraham, saying that they needed to and wanted to become part of God's family.
That's right. But John also made it clear that repentance was not the final step. In verse 11, he says, "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So what is this baptizing with the Holy Spirit?
Well, let me start with what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not. It's not some special secret baptism for just a select small group of Christians, giving them, you know, superpowers. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us his Spirit to transform us, to change our hearts from the inside out. This is for all believers. And this was prophesied in Ezekiel 36. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws."
I love that verse, by the way. And there's one more piece of this story that begins in verse 13. John has been preaching and baptizing for some time. And then one day, Jesus comes to be baptized by John. Now, John has trouble understanding this one. And I got to say, it throws me off a little bit too. Why would the spotless Lamb of God, sinless and perfect, need to be baptized?
Well, Jesus responds to John, who asks that same question in verse 15. "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Now, there's some argument over what that means exactly, but here's my thoughts. First, Jesus' baptism identified him with us. Isaiah 53 says that he came to be numbered with the transgressors. You see, he was sinless, but he took his place among the sinners. And secondly, Jesus' baptism was a picture of salvation that was to come. You see, Romans 6 and Colossians 2 both tell us that baptism is a picture of death and resurrection. Down into the water, death. Up out of the water, new life. And the same picture fits Jesus. He would die and rise again to life.
Now for me, the key word here is fulfill. In chapter 2, Jesus fulfilled prophecies. In chapter 3, he fulfills all righteousness. Jesus did every right thing. Everything asked of man to enter heaven, Jesus did it all.
And that was John's ministry right there, calling sinners to repent, to turn from their evil ways and to turn to God. John calls us to die to sin and walk in a new life with a new heart and a new spirit dwelling in us.
So what about you listening? Do you hear the voice of the one calling? Prepare the way for the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
Matthew chapter 3, the anointing of the king.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.
Matthew chapter 3, the anointing of the king.
Matthew chapter 3, the hype man. Do you think John the Baptist wore a giant clock around his neck?
What? Did you seriously just compare John the Baptist to Flava Flav?